Welcome, all you familiar faces. I see many, many returners tonight. So maybe I'll try to keep it down to a few brief nuggets tonight, because we're preparing for Sesshin starting tomorrow morning. So I'll try to keep it brief. And, us Buddhists have a liturgical year. And, this part of our year is celebrating Buddha's birthday, and this last month we've had this practice focus, looking at a sutra together, the Vimalakirti Sutra, and we'll finish that practice focus with this 4-day sesshin, and then at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, outside in the patio, we'll do a Buddha's birthday ceremony, followed by a Buddha's birthday party. And everyone is invited to that. You don't have to do the sesshin or the practice focus. So please, I've joked that I'm sure Buddha's birthday is on your iPhone calendar already. So you've got it with a big circle around it, and this is a way that you can celebrate this season, Buddha's birthday. The sesshin, please. Also, think about coming to a few periods during sesshin here and there to kind of keep your focus, help you keep your focus inward, to kind of add to the spirit of contemplation that we've been doing this last month, and certainly in sesshin. A lot of people come during sesshin at 7:30 at night and sit the last couple of periods as a way of kind of topping off the day and getting settled in mind and body. Or some people choose to come early in the morning at starting 5:45, and we'll sit 2 periods, and then you can be off and we'll and chant with us, of course. Or some people want to come around 10 in the morning and listen to a short lecture, and then maybe sit a period before lunch. So those are ways that even if you haven't participated in the practice focus, or you're not doing the whole sesshin, you can still add to the contemplative time of year, where we look at our founder's birth. We've been looking at the Vimalakirti Sutra the last few weeks. A great Mahayana sutra that started to appear around the year 100 Common Era. Maybe just a little bit after some of the other Mahayana sutras started appearing. But right in the early early mix of the sutras, of these sutras. And I've talked a little bit about it before. It's a very, very popular sutra in China and East Asia and Tibet. And it really has the kind of lay person ideal. Vimalakirti himself was a lay practitioner of Buddha who, Buddha teaches a little at the beginning and the end, but most of the sutra is led by Vimalakirti, who has a superior understanding even to some of Buddha's earliest disciples. And the gist of the sutra is that he's teaching bodhisattvas, including lay people like himself, how to practice in the world. So it's popular for us lay communities to see this archetype of lay practice in one of the most popular of the sutras, one of the most taught, one of the most studied of the sutras. Vimalakirti was a little prickly. He had a lot of money, and yet the sutra spells out that, his money was used just to liberate all beings. Got into politics so he could help liberate all beings. He would go into bars and brothels to liberate all beings. So he was very much in the world. In this sutra, he has an illness. The illness is gets spelled out that his illness is that he suffers with people who are suffering, and that's the bodhisattva's illness. He says it's like a parent whose child is sick. When the child is sick, the whole family is sick, with worry, with extra care. And when the child gets well, the whole family gets well. And so, the Buddha knows of his illness, and he asks his disciples to go call on Vimalakirti in the way that you would call on a sick friend, and then the drama starts. One by one, each of the learned disciples of the Buddha tells the Buddha, "Well, do I have to go? The last time I was meditating, Vimalakirti came up and told me I wasn't doing it right." Another disciple goes, "The last time I was giving a lecture, Vimalakirti came up and corrected me in front of everybody." So he even went up to the Buddha's son Rahula was also a monk along with his father, the Buddha. Rahula was, some townspeople were asking Rahula about what is this renunciation that a monk does? How does a monk simplify his or her life? And Rahula said, you know, I was telling these townspeople the benefits of a simple life. And Vimalakirti came up to me and said, there's no benefits to being a monk. You don't become a monk because of the benefits that it gives you. So, you know, that was the prickliness of Vimalakirti. The monks had to sort of agree that, oh yeah, he takes it a step further, of course he's right, but, you know, I just don't, he's hard to be around. So that's how the sutra goes, and it teaches us great lessons. You know, later on in the Chinese literature, there was the whole koans, teaching stories, and a typical response in the teaching, or typical scenarios, is one monk is, you know, quizzing another monk, and the one that's being quizzed gives an answer, and the quizzer says, you know, you've got it 80% right, and then the one being quizzed sort of says, well, you give me your answer, what's your answer? And of course, what comes is that little 20% more that just clears up all questions of duality or non-duality or emptiness or non-self, all of those kind of difficult concepts. You hear finally the last 20% that really makes it shine. And so Vimalakirti was always giving that last 20%. And sometimes it wasn't appreciated. And for him even to have the audacity to go up to Buddha's own son, I just love that. The story is typical of all the stories, but he had a real audacity to even correct Buddha's son. That's kind of wonderful. So we learn a lot from these stories. We learn a lot about being completely, wholeheartedly in our world, and completely, wholeheartedly having bodhisattva practice, our actions always pointed in the direction of liberating all beings. So it's a great sutra. Chapter 6 is called Inconceivable Liberation. And the disciples and bodhisattvas of Buddha have reluctantly gone to visit Vimalakirti in his modest home. And one by one they go in, and of course there's thousands of them. And somehow even in this modest home, they all fit in. The home just keeps magically expanding. And finally when they all get in, Shariputra pipes up. Shariputra is frequently the foil in a lot of sutras. Shariputra is not afraid to ask questions, not afraid to be the first in line to ask questions. So they all get in here, and Shariputra pipes up and says, where are we going to sit? There is not even a single chair in this house. Where are the disciples and bodhisattvas going to sit? And Vimalakirti replies, Reverend Shariputra, did you come here for the Dharma or did you come here for the chairs? What a great Dharma combat. Shariputra replied, I came for the Dharma, not for the chairs. I'll just read briefly. Reverend Shariputra, Vimalakirti continued, he who is interested in the Dharma is not interested even in his own body, much less a chair. Reverend Shariputra, he who is interested in the Dharma has no interest in matter, sensation, intellect, motivation, or consciousness, the five skandhas. He has no interest in the skandhas or in the elements or in the sense fields and sense media. Interested in the Dharma, he has no interest in the realm of desire, the realm of matter, or the immaterial realm. Interested in the Dharma, he is not interested in attachment to the Buddha, attachment to Dharma, or attachment to Sangha, the three treasures. Reverend Shariputra, he who is interested in Dharma is not interested in recognizing suffering, abandoning suffering, realizing its cessation, or practicing the path. Why? The Dharma is ultimately without formulation and without verbalization. He who verbalizes suffering should be recognized, origination should be eliminated, cessation should be realized, and the path should be practiced. He who utters that is not interested in the Dharma, but is only interested in verbalization. So he kind of, you know, cuts through and says, let's think about emptiness here. And, you know, we've learned a little bit in 2,000 years because we do offer you these cushy pillows to sit on here. So we want you to be comfortable and maybe over the millennia, we've learned that being a little comfortable also helps learn the Dharma. What was it, Kathy? We wanted to make we remodeled this place in this room in 2002 or 2004 or something, and there was no heat in here. We had a few electric heaters, so when we remodeled, we definitely wanted the heater because we thought, you know, maybe more people would come in the morning at 5:30 in the morning if it was really kind of warm, if it was really kind of something that would be comfortable to come to. So we've learned a little something. Maybe we're not as austere as Vimalakirti, but we've learned a little something about you have to the middle way. The middle way. One extreme is getting here at 5:45 in the morning. The other extreme is having a warm place to come to. The middle way is making those intersect and just right. So we learn about emptiness, and then the chairs appear. The chairs start magically appearing. 32,000 thrones arranged themselves without crowding, and the house seemed to enlarge itself accordingly. The great city of Vaisali, where this took place, did not become obscured. So, you know, it's 32,000 people, didn't sort of crowd everybody out in the neighborhood. Didn't become obscured, neither did the land of Jambudvipa, the earth here. nor the world of the four continents. Everything else appeared just as it was. Vimalakirti said to the young prince Manjushri, the leader of those 32,000, Manjushri, let the bodhisattvas be seated on these thrones, having transformed their bodies to a suitable size. Then those bodhisattvas who had attained the super knowledges transformed their bodies to a height of 4,200,000 leagues and sat upon the thrones. But the beginner bodhisattvas were not able to transform themselves to get up onto the thrones. So Vimalakirti taught the beginner bodhisattvas a teaching that enabled them to attain 5 super knowledges, one of which was to be able to grow to 4,200,000 leagues so that they could get on the thrones. But you know, Shariputra was he wasn't even a bodhisattva. He was one of the early Shravakas, one of the arhats. So they didn't have those superpowers. So Shariputra even needed some more help. Reverend Shariputra, take your seat. Shariputra replied, "Good sirs, the thrones are too big. I can't get up." Shariputra, just bow down to this Tathagata who had brought the thrones, and you'll be able to take your seat. So with that bow, all of a sudden, Shariputra was up onto his seat. So big chairs, 32,000 of them, in this little hut. And nothing was disturbed. The town didn't get bigger. The neighborhood didn't get crowded. Shariputra said to Vimalakirti, "Noble sir, it is astonishing that these thrones, so big and so high, should fit into such a small house, and that the city of Vaisali and the villages and the kingdoms and the capitals of the earth, the other continents, the abodes of the gods, the dragons, the yakshas, the gandharvas, all the abodes of the garudas and the kimnaras," those are like magical animals, and the maharagas, they just appear as before. How could that be? Here's the nugget. Vimalakirti replied, "Reverend Shariputra, for the Tathagatas and the Bodhisattvas, there is a liberation called inconceivable." There's a liberation that's inconceivable. And, there's a couple of ways to approach inconceivable mind. We talk about it quite a bit when we sit down here quietly. We've taken our shoes off, so it's just our bare feet and socks, so everything is pretty quiet, and we sit and face the wall and sit quietly. And in this quiet room, maybe after a few minutes or 20 minutes, we've quieted down so that thoughts aren't continually coming up. That all of our thoughts are quiet, and we've landed on, and we've settled, we're abiding without concepts. And we could probably call that, and we do, inconceivable mind, no concepts are arising that we hold on to, or if they do, we just let them float away. We don't grab onto them. We don't say, "Oh, there's the thought about car repair. I have to get up early tomorrow and take the car in No, we just say car repair and let it go and settle back down into that unifying consciousness where there's no concepts. There's just consciousness that connects us all. And we might say that that's inconceivable mind. We use the term in another way too, like, how did that guy get elected? That's inconceivable. And that kind of gets my whole body going. I'm really all there with that inconceivable mind. There's no place to land. It's not like, you know, maybe at some point I go, oh, it's the Electoral College. Or what about that Rust Belt? What was going on in the Rust Belt? You know, maybe I go there briefly, but I just can't understand it. I just can't get my mind around it. And my whole body is engaged. And that's the inconceivability that's going to liberate me. When I can get my whole heart, my whole body engaged in just being alive, just being, just my consciousness is, later on, in another place, he talks about, my consciousness is just shivering. It's just alive, not landing any place. No concepts are appearing to latch onto. I'm just alive. I'm just being. And so when Shariputra says, how did these 32,000 thrones so high get in here? And Vimalakirti says, it's inconceivable. That should be enough. A Shariputra should just sit there on that throne and just in wonder, in total wonder. What's the bumper sticker? If you're not awestruck, you're not paying attention. So this posture of attention is that awestruck, inconceivable liberation, engaging all of body and mind fully. That's Vimalakirti's Shariputra. It's inconceivable. The bodhisattvas who live in the inconceivable liberation can put the king of mountains, Mount Sumeru, which is so high, so great, so noble, so vast, all of the mountain can fit into a mustard seed. You've heard that image before of the mustard seed containing all of the universe. This is where it comes. 100 common era right here. The whole world can fit into the mustard seed. He can perform this feat without enlarging the mustard seed and without shrinking Mount Sumeru. And the people who live on Mount Sumeru, the four Maharajas and many others, they're not even aware that they're being crammed into a mustard seed. It can all be done that way. And here we go again with another great lie. Only those beings who are destined to be disciplined by miracles see and understand putting the Mount Sumeru into the mustard seed. Only us beings who are destined to be disciplined by miracles. I have to say that I'm of the predisposition to be disciplined by miracles. This discipline here is like, you know, when you go hiking in Wilder Ranch and it's beautiful and you can see all the way across to Monterey from atop the hill over the shining, glittering ocean that's bright blue. You've gotten to that mountaintop because there's been this kind of path that you've taken. You didn't just kind of walk any place. There was this path that was there. So this discipline isn't like dampening your spirits. It's not like a Zendo form that might squash your spirits a little bit. I want to be on that. I want to see that wonderful vista. I want to see Monterey from atop this mountain and across the whole Monterey Bay. And this path looks like it's going to take me right there. So that's how the term disciplined is used. It just kind of nudges you in the right direction. So in the spirit of inconceivable liberation, this Dharma path that we're on kind of nudges us to these insights, to this inconceivable liberation. And it's done miracle after miracle. There's lots written about miracles. You know, it's a miracle to me that blossoming, flowering cherry out there, that 20-foot limb can extend horizontally all across the patio and not come crashing down. That's a miracle. And it's a miracle that it's you know, pointing to another flowering tree that is completely bare. And there's those little green buds. How does it know? How does it know that it's spring? I mean, you know, it wasn't that cold this winter, and sometimes we even have warmer winters. It can't just be temperature related or water related. I mean, Lord knows this is the first rain we've gotten in several years, so it can't be the amount of water. It's a miracle. And that sort of just keeps my mind open, and, you know, without settling on, you know, I mean, you can tell I've said, well, maybe it's the winter, maybe it's the rain, but I have to let those go because, you know, one, I don't know, and it can't be just that because it's so variable. I've had this alarm clock for 15 years that cost $20, and you don't have to set it because it's communicating with a satellite. How does that happen? For $20, I am communicating with a satellite. Maybe there is some person that knows every step of the way. Maybe there is a finite number of things. But us Buddhists would say, well, Mr. Smarty Pants, how did you get here? Didn't you depend on your parents? And didn't they depend on their parents? I mean, Mr. Smarty Pants didn't even start. There was an inconceivable amount of stuff happening just to have somebody explain this clock to me. That's the mind of the Bodhisattva that is just awestruck all the time. And when she finally turns inward and says, "What's this all about?" all she can say is, all I can do is just be here. I can just be awestruck. And that's the mind that not only liberates me, but that's the only mind that is going to save all beings when they're not stuck in this concept or that concept or this political party or that political party, when they just are saying, "I can't believe it. I can't believe how this happened. But I can hold it. I can hold that. I can be with this miracle. This inconceivable liberation winds up with Vimalakirti saying, and you know Mara? You know that devil Mara, whose job it is to maybe knock us off that path to the top of Mount Sumeru so that we can see Monterey Bay Zen Center from here? You know that Mara, that devil? He is actually a bodhisattva of inconceivable liberation, using his skillful techniques to test you, to make you every temptation he throws in the path, like on the way up to the mountain, maybe it's time to stop for a lunch. All those temptations. Maybe it's time to open the picnic basket now. No, we've just got a little bit more. Okay, I can put that picnic basket down. All those temptations are just a skillful way for you to say, "No, I've got to keep my mind open. I can't just settle on this or that. I have to stay open." So all of those hindrances that you think, all those difficulties when you've got Mount Sumeru here and the mustard seed here, all those ideas that you might come up saying, "This is not going to fit in there." You've just got to say, "I think it'll fit. It's worked before. I think this will fit." So all of those hindrances in our life are nothing but bodhisattvas who have been living in inconceivable liberation, that are there to teach us. We might, the sutra goes on to say, we might a group of us make a big soup and cornbread for Food Not Bombs and take it down there, and a lot of people from the Ross encampment. We might say that that we're helping out people with our soup, but right here, an inconceivable liberation. Vimalakirti says, you know, those people camping behind Ross are bodhisattvas, teaching us the practice of the way. They have been practicing with inconceivable liberation for many lifetimes, and they're skillfully suffering for our benefit so that we can resolve to be open-hearted and compassionate and not separating people out in the world. So Vimalakirti asks us, please be open to all people that that you meet, because they are most likely bodhisattva after bodhisattva practicing inconceivable liberation, helping you stay on that path up to the top of Mount Sumeru. Maybe you've been awestruck so that you just want to sit down and sit with your whole body and mind in that inconceivable liberation. Maybe you've got a few examples of your own. We've just got a couple minutes, and then we can have some tea and help set up for the sesshin. Notice any miracles today? Were you awestruck? Charlie.
Well, if your alarm clock could correctly set the alarm from the satellite, that you can see.
You're right. I have to do a little something, but the heavy lifting is done by the satellite. Thank you. Thank you. It's warm enough. I think we'll be able to have tea outside tonight while we set up in here. And you might notice some of the miracles that are right out there, and see if you can just sit with them. May we appreciate the miracle of raising our hands in gassho. May we appreciate the miracle of sitting down on the cushion, so that we can forever abide in just sitting, being